Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
School's out for the most part for summer, and that means what do you do with the kids? What do you do with the grandkids? I'd like you to text into the Oakenhorn Jeweler Talking text line, 504-260-1870. What do you plan for your kids? What are your plans, and what did your parents do with you during the summertime? Dr. Judy Hoke joins us, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of several books. How you doing, Dr. Judy?
Pretty good, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about, I was trying to remember in preparation for this what I did during the summer. And I can remember that I played a lot of golf because we would buy monthly tickets to play at Brechtel, which was a golf course that used to be here. And then I know I worked changing tires and pumping gas. I don't know exactly how that goes together. Maybe I would do one in the morning, one afternoon. I don't know. Do you remember exactly what you did when you were a kid?
Well, yeah, we had tons of activities, but I know that everybody's experience is different. We had a ton of structured stuff. So I was in a lot of music programs, and I was also in auxiliary for the marching band, and I was in a ton of sports. So it was always busy. My parents even at some point enrolled me in Saturday Chinese classes. I mean, I don't know. I just had a lot of structured activities, both in the summer and during the school year.
So how have things changed, I guess? Is there any data that shows it's better to have kids do one or the other? Does it come down to how many kids are in a family? How are the kids themselves, et cetera? How do you determine that?
Well, I guess in general, we know that some structure is good for kids. You know, they do need structure even in the summertime, but it doesn't have to be imposed structure by somebody outside of the family. It can be structure that you as the parent or the caregiver decides that they're the rules that they're going to abide by. So, you know, one really easy one that I think parents can consider doing is, you know, it's tempting just to say, okay, it's summer, so like everybody can wake up late and, you know, they can stay up late and et cetera. But I think in general, especially Monday through Fridays, you kind of have to keep them to a structure in terms of wake up times, bedtimes, you know, chores that they might have to do in the morning, things like that. On the weekends, of course, you can have some treats and say, well, no, this is going to be something that we can do on the weekends, stay up late, you know, have a little less structure maybe. But I think it's important to not necessarily teach your children that lack of structure is a type of reward. So staying up late can be a reward, but like sort of like, oh, having an open day where you can do whatever you want and play video games for 10 hours, it's important to not necessarily let your children think that that is a good thing. Like, don't make that a prize that they get to win on the weekends. And then I think from there, it just really depends. Some families will enroll their kids in summer camps. It also helps the adults, right? They can have their time to themselves or they have to work. But other parents will just take their kids on a number of different activities around town. There's a lot of free and low-cost activities usually in most neighborhoods. And I think that it's just more important that you continue to expose them to social interactions as well as educational opportunities.
Somebody wants to know about taking a vacation out of town. Is there any data that indicates that's a good thing or a bad thing for kids, or it all depends?
I mean, again, it depends on the kind of child that you have, but I think that in general, taking a family trip is always good because it's opportunity to get out of town, to learn some new things, to be exposed to new cultural ideas, just, you know, giving them a different different view on life. And so I think in general, those are good, as well as it's time for the family to be together. And that's always a positive thing.
When it comes to reading list and school assignments and so forth, it seems as though it changed, because I don't recall having a reading list when I was in school. Now it seems as though the schools are actively involved. Somebody texted and said, is it best to get the reading list out of the way early on or save it for the end of summer so they get in a mood to go back to school? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's helpful to kind of dose it along the summer. So obviously a lot of families will say, well, it's probably best if we can just give them the first couple of weeks, like just give them that reward because they've worked hard all school year. I think that's fine. But I think after that, it's good to just start to knock out one book a week or whatever, you know, the pace should be. Because when you push it all to the end of the summer, then it becomes this real drag, first of all. But also you as a parent start to get stressed out. They start to get stressed out. Like, oh my gosh, I still have five more books to read and I only have a week and a half. I mean, it's just, I don't think that that's very conducive to them, one, learning from the reading, but two, I think it actually adds unnecessary stress for the entire family.
What would your advice be for a single parent who goes off to work and the kid's at home and they don't want the kid laying in bed till noon? Although, I got to tell you, I also remember, as I say that, staying up all night watching television and then, you know, going to get a po' boy, a sandwich for lunch at noon for breakfast, and then staying up the whole night again. And I guess I turned out okay. But well, I was a free range child. What would you say to parents that are not home and they have to have some kind of schedule for their kids or whatever?
Yeah, you know, I think that when you're a parent who's not home, then, you know, whoever is helping you with childcare in the day, whether it's that you're you have a family member, a nanny over, et cetera, I think it's just important to communicate to the person who's watching your children during the day what your expectations are for structure. Like, okay, they have to get up by this time. They have to make their bed by this time. Then they get some free time before lunch, but lunch needs to happen between this hour and this hour. I found that it's really helpful to have a visual tool up for that, especially if you have multiple people taking care of the child. So what I'm talking about is just something that's on the refrigerator that shows them what times they're supposed to do things each day. You know, it can be a paper calendar, whatever, so that not only the caregiver can be referring to that, but also the child can, and it gives them a sense of structure. So we actually started doing that recently with Luca. He's 3.5, and we put his daily schedule up in on this little whiteboard in his room. And he really likes it. He likes to run to it and see what he's doing that day. And it also helps to structure him and say, okay, well, we have this class at 2:00, so we have to start getting ready at 1:00 and have your lunch, etc. And so I think it can be helpful to have those as anchors.
3.5 already. Time flies, huh? Man, I'm telling you.
I know.
Somebody texted and said they have a problem because, and I'm going to combine this because it's kind of long, but basically the daughter had problems with cliques in school, and they want the daughter to be social during the summertime, but they don't want the daughter to suffer with the clique problem that they had during the school year. You got any advice there, Dr. Judy?
Yeah, it's so tough. You know, cliques are just, I think, a part of upbringing in general. It's going to happen from time to time, but sometimes your child will be in the clique and other times they might be out of the clique. So that's hard. I would say if it's possible to expose them to a different social group, just to kind of loosen that clique idea for a little bit, it would be nice. So if there was another social activity where they could participate with new kids in the community, not necessarily the ones that they go to school with, it can just really help to have a reset for them and also restore their self-esteem, because kids' self-esteem take a really hard hit when they feel like they're not included. You know, that's also at a time when you really care to be included, right? Like in those teen years, that's kind of a developmental task. It's really what kids are more thinking about, more so than, you know, when they're adults. I mean, I think by the time that people are 20, 30, 40, you may still care, but a lot of people tell me, like, they grow out of that feeling of having to be included in everything. Or sometimes they're saying, you know, it doesn't matter to me that much because I know who my people are and they always include me. So I don't really care to always be included at the clique at my work or at the clique at the gym. It's like, it's fine because I have my friends and I feel confident in that. But I think in the early teen to teen years, that's when you really care and you want to be accepted by everyone, but you don't recognize that that's an impossible task. You're never going to be liked by everyone. But again, the teen mind doesn't know that, you know, so I think that's when it can be the most difficult. And that's why it's important to expose them to different social groups and rotate among them if you can.
Is there an age where it's appropriate for kids to work?
You know, I know a lot of kids who do high school kind of internship or first job type of programs through their school. And I did one of those. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that it can be really helpful just to get them exposed to this idea of having to have responsibility outside of the house. I think that sometimes if it's happening inside the house, it's like kind of conflictual, like, oh, mom, oh, dad, I don't want to do these chores. Don't tell me to do X, Y, Z or help you with your job. But it's different, right? It's really different when it's coming from outside. And also, they do earn a small amount of money, even through these high school training programs, because it's actually still a job. And that can instill a sense of pride. It's also a great way to start teaching financial literacy. And I would say that the age, probably 15 to 16, that's when the program started at our school. So I remember that my first job. Do you remember, Tommy, the Miller Outpost stores? That was my first job working at Miller Outpost.
No.
It's kind of like a Gap, but not as fancy as Gap.
A Miller Outpost. I don't recall.
They sold a lot of t-shirts and flannels back in the day. I mean, I was in high school in 1993 to 1997, so, you know, that was what was in back then, I guess.
It tells me here that it was operated primarily
day-to-day clothes.
Operated primarily in the Western United States. That may be why. I don't know if we had those.
Yeah, that's probably why.
But I'll probably find it on YouTube one day when I look at companies that aren't there anymore. They're not out of business as a result of anything you did, right?
I hope not. Okay. Can you imagine?
Yeah. So along those lines, when it comes to what jobs kids should have, you know, my dad owned a gas station, and then I went to work for an auto retailer, not a retailer, an auto repair place, and I was changing tires and everything else. Probably not the best environment for a kid to be in. I didn't learn a whole lot other than get an education, because you don't want to do this work for the rest of your life.
Right.
Was that a lesson in and of itself, or how protective should parents be when it comes to where they let their child get a job or approve of it?
Yeah, I think that it's important for parents to vet the places that your kid's going to work at, obviously. So if it's not through a vetted program that's vetted by your school, for example, it's important for you to vet the company or the individual or the supervisor who's going to be working with your kid, right? One, you want to know if they're going to be actually supervised and what they're actually going to be doing and if it's going to be worthwhile. But also, and unfortunately, this is just part of life, you know, you can't expect a stranger just to treat your kid well. Sometimes they get bullied by their bosses. Sometimes they get abused by their bosses. And while that's still somewhat of a lower base rate, the biggest thing that prevents that is parental monitoring, right? The fact that the person knows that the parent's kind of hanging around and asking questions, your kid's not going to be as likely to be targeted for anything that is negative if the parent is hanging around for the most part. Doesn't mean that still doesn't happen sometimes to those kids, but just statistically it happens a lot less.
I guess it was a different time. I know I worked in a tire store for a long time, and as a kid in high school and everything else, I don't think I'd want my kid doing that at all, and I don't think that they've changed that much. No disrespect to anybody, I'm just saying. We'll take a break, pick it up with Dr. Judy Ho, when we come back, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Texts are coming in, 504-260-1870, the Oquinar Jeweler Talk and Text Line. How do you handle your kids in summertime and giving them responsibilities? Do you let them just chill out, play video games, watch TV, recharge, or do you keep them busy? 939 Traffic Now, WWL. 946 now, 14 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Final week of May, school's going to be getting out. We're talking about ways to keep your kid busy. What's better for him, to keep him busy or to let him just completely recharge and relax and get ready to go back to school in the fall? Dr. Judy, somebody texted in about parents need to carefully vet where they let their kids work because their son went to work at a place, got involved with the wrong people, really changed the course of his life. Thoughts on that?
I hear that, you know, and I think that that's good advice.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I do feel like generationally it's been a bit different, but also I think it's just that people didn't talk about it as much. You know, I'm hearing a lot of terrible things that might have happened to people as a result of them getting together with the wrong types of people, learning the wrong lessons, or like I said, even being mistreated or abused in some cases. And I think as a parent, you always do have to, unfortunately, be a bit skeptical about the people that your child is going to be interacting with. And you do have to be involved. You know, sometimes people feel like, oh, well, my kid is pushing back and saying they don't want me to be involved, or, well, I kind of want to be the cool parent and just let them know that they can do whatever they want and I trust them. But it's like, well, their executive functions are not fully developed yet. And they're also at an age where they're soaking up information super fast. And so you do need to vet everybody that they hang out with. And that's not just at work, but it's also the parents of the people that they hang out with, their peers, like really asking questions, getting together with them. It might sound like the most annoying thing ever, but there's just decades of research that suggests parental monitoring is a single thing that parents and caregivers can do to set their child on a good path, both academically and occupationally, as well as in terms of their mental health and their personality development.
And somebody texted in, jobs are good because kids need to learn that there's a boss and there's an employee and they need what they need to do what their boss tells them to do. And I understand that.
Yeah.
However, you do need to let your kid know that it seems like you could be, in a way, setting them up to be abused there, where it's like, well, just do whatever the boss tells you to do within reason, right?
That's true. Exactly. And so, again, I think this is part of, you know, really working with your child and teaching them, you know, that it's not just a blind obedience. There's obviously respect, but also teaching them to ask questions, you know, teaching them that it's okay sometimes to say, well, please explain to me why you want me to do this in this way. Or no, I think that that's unreasonable, and encourage them to talk to you when they're not sure. I think that a lot of times parents are trying their best to stay on top of their children, but at the same time, you don't know what you don't know, right? So your child sometimes has to be the first to come to you and say, hey, something happened today. I'm not really sure if that's okay. And you have to establish that open communication and trust and essentially let them know you're not going to get in trouble for asking me a question, or maybe you did make a mistake at work and it led to this interaction. That's all fine. I still want you to be able to come to me when there's trouble.
Are there any... Somebody texted in, and I hate to read the text because I don't want to besmirch an entire industry, but they said all of their kids did this job and that they all wound up with addiction problems as it relates to drugs. Mm-hmm. Are there any areas that are more prone to that than others? Because I hate to read this because I don't want to impugn a whole industry.
Sure, I totally understand. Yeah, and I think that it's just important to know what the culture is in different jobs. Some jobs, they're just, the culture of it is that it's more normalized, you know, for them to, for example, either not only just use drugs, but obviously if you're working in an industry that's helping to produce it in any way, like the alcohol industry, the marijuana industry, of course, there's going to be more risks involved, right? And so I think you do need to know, walk in with, you know, both eyes open, essentially, that, for example, I've had people tell me, you know, their childhood job, working in a specific industry, it's just like, part of it was just that after work, they all went out and got drunk, you know, and so it just established and put them at risk early for an alcohol issue, which they ended up developing.
And I guess, in a way, because I'm going back to my own experience here, if you got a 16-year-old kid doing a job, the same job as a 30-year-old, well, the 30-year-old's at a different point in their life than the 16-year-old is, and chances are, if the 30-year-old was on the right track, they, generally speaking, probably would be not doing the job that the 16-year-old is doing, right?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, why is there such a big difference in terms of the age gap? And I think that that is something to look at. So you're absolutely right about that. And I think that people sometimes have a hard time, you know, maybe distinguishing like what is a good peer or what is a good interaction versus not. But that's why it's so important that parents just continue to ask the questions. If they're starting to get close to a peer at work, inviting that peer over to the house, you know, for something that's casual, like, oh, we're having a barbecue with a few people, like ask them to come over. That's how you can vet some of these people for yourself and decide whether or not you're okay with your child spending a lot of time with this person.
Somebody wants to know if it's better to have the kid pursue an interest that they have already expressed that they like, or try different things so they can see if they really like the area that they think they do.
I think that it's okay for the child, and actually encouraging them to try different things. I think that sometimes we can get really locked in and say, oh, okay, well, if they say they like this, I might as well just keep getting them to do it. And of course, that's great too. You should continue to expose your child to something that you know already is something that they enjoy. But I think that people sometimes can get really fixed on that, and they're like, well, that's just what I'm going to do. I don't want to do anything else. And obviously you're teaching them a life skill by exposing them to different things and encouraging them to try different things and saying, hey, it's okay if you don't like it, but let's try. And then if you don't like it after X number of months, you know, set a specific amount of time. And remember that generally things don't become habitual or feel easy until at least 6 to 8 weeks. So it's not really, let's try this for a week. It's like, let's give it a good 2 to 3 months. And if by the end of that time, you still really don't like it, okay, we can switch to something else. And it kind of works out for school, right? It's like, try this for a semester or a year. And if you really don't like it at the end of the semester or the year, we can switch to something else. But I would like you to try it first.
You're reading
and
ahead.
Sometimes people really...
I'm sorry, Dr. Judy, because the text, I wanted to get this in. Somebody said, if your child has a job and comes home and says they want to quit because they don't like it, listen to them. Thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that, again, if they went to the job for a day or two and they say they don't like it, that's a little bit more suspect. But again, ask questions, right? Just say, okay, well, what don't you like about it? Tell me what's going on with the job that's disturbing you or causing you to say that you don't ever want to go back. And sometimes you got to listen to them because they're telling you the truth and they're saying, this is not comfortable for me. There's something going on with the job. I don't like the person I'm working with, and they have really valid reasons. Then you have to respect that. But at other times, it could just be that they don't like it because they're being told what to do. They're trying to get out of responsibility. They're trying to quit early. And if those are the cases, then you have to encourage them to stay the course. And so I think really it's just important to stay open-minded and be willing to adjust. And also sometimes parents, we want our child just to be like us. Like, oh, well, we loved it. What do you mean you don't like it? So try to, as hard as it is, keep your own personal preferences and feelings out of it and just really listen to your child and decide the course from there.
Thank you, Dr. Judy. Very interesting as always. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. We'll talk to you again. When we come back, we'll talk to Dave Cohen, who's in for Newell. We'll find out what he's got planned for us today here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.